The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 16, Text 7 to 9, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on January 22, 1998, in Mumbai, India.
Arjunasya sutha rajan smaranta svapitur vidam rama virya prabhuta devire sharmana kvachet. Jamadagni, the son of Satyavati, was very much pleased with Parasuram and asked him to take any benediction he liked. Lord Parasuram replied, "Let my mother and brothers live again and not remember having been killed by me. This is the benediction I ask." Thereafter, by the benediction of Jamadagni, Lord Parasuram's mother and brothers immediately came alive and were very happy, as if awakened from sound sleep. Lord Parasuram had killed his relatives in accordance to his father's order because he was fully aware of his father's power, austerity, and learning. My dear King Parikshit, the sons of Kartavirya-Arjuna, who were defeated by the superior strength of Parasuram, never achieved happiness, for they always remembered the killing of their father. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jamadagni was certainly very powerful due to his austerities, but because of a slight offense by his poor wife, Renuka, he ordered that she be killed. This is certainly a sinful act, and therefore Jamadagni was killed by the sons of Kartavirya-Arjuna, as described herein. Lord Parasuram was also infected by sin because of killing Kartavirya-Arjuna, although this was not very offensive. Therefore, whether one be Kartavirya-Arjuna, Lord Parasuram, Jamadagni, or whoever one may be, one must act very cautiously and sagaciously. Otherwise, one must suffer the results of sinful activities. This is the lesson we receive from Vedic literature. Srila Prabhupada in this purport is giving a very cautious warning to all living beings, especially those who are aspiring on the spiritual path. If we commit mistakes, especially if we offend or cause harm to others, or to speak of Vaishnavas, we must be punished. Whoever we are, whether you are the Supreme Lord Shaktivesh Avatar Parasuram, whether you are a great king like Kartavirya-Arjuna, or whether you are one of the great seven sages like Jamadagni, if you offend others and cause them harm, you have to suffer. We should not think that because of some exalted position we may be in, that we have a right to offend others or to treat others harshly. Srila Prabhupada is very strong to warn us in this way. To understand what kind of offenses were committed, it would be worthy to describe in brief what is being narrated in these particular chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. It begins with a king of the name Gaudi. Maharaj Gaudi had a beautiful daughter of the name Satyavati. There was a Brahmin named Richik Muni who very much wanted Satyavati to be his wife. However, Maharaj Gaudi was not very inclined to marry his princess daughter to a Brahmin. So he said, if you want to marry my daughter, you have to give me 1,000 horses, each one as brilliant and white as the moonshine. Each one has to have one black ear, either left or right. Richik Muni went to Varuna, and through the benediction of Varuna, he received these 1,000 very extraordinary horses and presented them to Maharaj Gaudi, who then entrusted his daughter's hand in marriage to Richik Muni. So Richik Muni's wife, as well as his mother-in-law, requested that they give them oblations to have very, very exalted children. Richik Muni created by his brahminical powers 2 oblations and gave one to his wife and one to his mother-in-law. At that time, he went to take bath in the river. So the mother-in-law was thinking that generally husbands are more inclined to their wife than their mother-in-law. He must have given her a better oblation than me. So she ordered her daughter, we must exchange oblations. So the daughter obediently followed her mother's instruction, and she drank her mother's oblation, and the mother drank the daughter's oblation. Richik Muni came back from the river, and he understood exactly what happened. He became very, very angry. And he said to his wife, you have given away the oblation I have given you. Therefore, your son will be the most ferocious of all Kshatriyas. And then he said to his mother-in-law, your son will be a great Brahmin. Richik Muni's wife was very disturbed. She was in such distress. She begged forgiveness and prayed to her husband, please don't make my son a fierce Kshatriya. Let him be a Brahmin. So Richik Muni was somewhat pacified and said, your son will be a great Brahmin, but your grandson will be a ferocious Kshatriya. So his wife, Satyavati, gave birth to Jamadagni, who was later on married to Renuka. And they had several children. The eldest was Vasuman, and the youngest of the children was the Shaktivesh avatar of Lord Vishnu named Parasuram. So they were all living as Brahmins on the bank of the holy Narmada River. So one time it is explained, Kartavirya-Arjuna, he decided to go on a tour, and he came to the place where Jamadagni was living. Now a little background about Kartavirya-Arjuna. He was very powerful. He was such a king because he performed tapasya to the Lord's plenary expansion of Dattatreya. He was given the benediction of 1,000 powerful arms, undefeatable in battle. One time, Kartavirya-Arjuna, just with his hands, blocked the flow of a river. And meanwhile, Ravana, who you have all heard of, Ravana was very upset And he decided to attack Kartavirya-Arjuna. And there was a great war. Kartavirya-Arjuna effortlessly captured Ravana and put him in prison in his kingdom, just like a child captures a monkey. And then just to insult Ravana, he let him go. Very powerful person. When he came to Jamadagni's ashram, Jamadagni, being a good Brahmin, knowing that it is very important to greet all guests with great hospitality, the best you have, that is the Vedic system. He created from his Kamadenu cow wonderful, wonderful feast and all sorts of offerings for Kartavirya-Arjuna and his entire army. Now, because Kartavirya-Arjuna was not a peaceful Vaishnava, instead of being pleased with all the nice offerings of hospitality he was receiving from this great sage, he became envious. He was thinking that I should have this Kamadenu cow. I am the king, the best should be in my possession. If I have this Kamadenu cow, I could have anything I want. So he told Jamadagni, give me your cow. I am the king. Jamadagni said, no, I am a Brahmin. And I require this cow because she gives so much ghee, and when she gives ghee, I can perform so many yajnas. So Kartavirya-Arjuna was very angry, and he sent his servants to forcibly kidnap the cow. Parasuram was not home at the time. But when he returned and found out that the cow had been stolen, he became so furious that this king had the offensive mentality to do this to his father. So he picked up a chopper, a shield, and bows and a quiver of arrows. He was dressed in a black deerskin and his hair was matted. And in great anger, he attacked the city of Kartavirya-Arjuna. Kartavirya-Arjuna sent all of his armies out to fight with Parasuram. And Parasuram, easily with his chopper, just severed their bodies to pieces. Kartavirya-Arjuna, in great anger, he came out with his 1,000 arms, 500 holding bows and 500 shooting arrows. With all of his force, Parasuram, with his arrows, easily neutralized all the arrows of Kartavirya-Arjuna. Then Kartavirya-Arjuna, he started picking up trees and rocks and throwing them at Parasuram, and Parasuram was destroying them all. Then Parasuram, with his chopper, he cut off all 1,000 arms of Maharaj Kartavirya-Arjuna. And then with one slash of his celebrated chopper, he cut off the head of Maharaj Kartavirya-Arjuna, who looked like a mountain being cut down. Sri Parasaram Bhagavan Ki! Hare Krishna. Then he brought the cow back to his father and told his father what he had done. His father became angry with him. He said, why have you done this? He's the king. The king is representative of God in the world. For such a slight offense, why did you kill his armies and kill him? Do you not know that the first and greatest of all virtues of a Brahmin is forgiveness? If a Brahmin cannot forgive for offenses that have been committed against him, he is not really a Brahmin at all. Srila Prabhupada describes that each of the varnas and ashrams have a particular characteristic which is prominent. The prominent characteristic of all Brahmins should be their willingness to forgive. The prominent characteristic of a Kshatriya is heroism and fearlessness in battle. A Vaishya is protection of cows and to be very benevolent and charitable toward others. And a Shudra's primary characteristic is to be very faithful and loyal to those who they serve. One day, Jamadagni was performing his worship, and his wife, Renuka, she went to the river to get some water. While she was there, the king of the Gandharvas, Chitaratha, was playing so many nice sports with beautiful apsaras. He was so beautiful that when Renuka saw him, she just stood and looked at him, very much attracted. Then she realized she was late to bring water for her husband's yajna. So she picked the pot of water and brought it to her husband. Jamadagni, by his mystic power, knew exactly what his wife had done. And he said, "You are an unchaste, unfaithful woman. You must be punished." Then he looked at his sons and he said, "Your mother must be killed. Immediately kill her." But because of their love for their mother, they were not able to follow that order. Then Jamadagni looked at Parasuram and he said, "Your brothers are disobedient and your mother is unfaithful. Kill them all." So Parasuram immediately killed his mother and all his brothers. Sri Parasuram Bhagavan Ki. Parasuram was very intelligent. He knew if he surrendered to his father would give him a benediction. So sure enough, the father was so pleased. He said, "Oh, my son, you have surrendered to such an extent just to please me. Please ask for a benediction." Parasuram said, "Yes, I will. Please bring my mother and all my brothers back to life and make it so they never knew that they died or that I killed them." By the power of Jamadagni, they woke up just as if they were sleeping for some time. They never ever knew what happened. Sometime after this, the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, there were many of them, they were so angry with the death of their father that they attacked. They came when Parasuram was somewhere in the forest. So Jamadagni was sitting in meditation and they came up to him to kill him. And Renuka, the wife, was standing there and she was begging them, "Please, no, no, do not kill my husband." Then they cut off his head and took their head with them. Renuka began to call out, "Oh Rama, Rama, please come, oh Rama." Parasuram immediately came, and when he saw what happened, he attacked the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. There were many thousands of them with so many armies. And he began to fight with his chopper. Parasu means chopper. Parasuram means one who takes great pleasure in using his chopper. So they began to fight. And it is explained that Parasuram fought with the speed of mind. And after he got tired, he slowed down to the speed of the wind. And after some time, he slashed off the heads, the arms, the everything of all of these sons and soldiers. And then he realized that the Kshatriya race was corrupt. So he destroyed the entire dynasty of Kshatriyas for 21 consecutive generations. Then he went to Kurukshetra to perform tapasya for what he had done. He began to do penances. There is rivers called Samanta Panchaka. And there, he actually, Prabhupada says, he filled those lakes with the blood of the Kshatriyas. And he performed great sacrifice and atonements to be relieved of the offenses of what he had done. Although actually it was not offense, still by his example that he wanted to show. If you cause harm to others, you must atone. Then he went to the Himalayas and he became Brahmin and gave all of his different property that he had acquired to various rishis and sages. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this wonderful purport that whoever we are, we should never think that we have the right to cause harm or offenses to others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially explained, to offend devotees, it is the mad elephant offense. Krishna cannot tolerate offenses against his devotees. Therefore, we should be extra very cautious about causing harm to others. In Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, there is a beautiful story in this regard, which shows however great you are, you will be punished if you offend a Vaishnava. Doesn't matter what position you may be in, you have no right. There are many stories. Practically the whole Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat tell about this particular lesson that must be understood. But one we will try to explain. One day, Gadadhar Pandit approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that my Guru Maharaj, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, has given me a mantra upon initiation. But I am not properly remembering that mantra in my mind. Can you give me the mantra again? And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you asking of me? Pundarik Vidyanidhi is your guru. He is such a great person. I cannot give you the mantra again. You must receive it from him and only him. You must be faithful. Gadadhar Pandit said, but I was thinking that you are a representative of my Guru Maharaj. Lord Chaitanya said, you must take your mantra from your guru and he will be coming within 10 days. So just be patient. Lord Chaitanya's love for Pundarik Vidyanidhi was so great. Sometimes in separation from him, he would cry and he would call out, Father, Father, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, my father. Because we know that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the eternal father of Srimati Radharani, Maharaj Vrishabhanu. So Lord Chaitanya loved him and worshipped him as his own father. The love of Mahaprabhu for Pundarik Vidyanidhi was so great that he knew when he would come and he would be waiting with great eagerness to have his blessed association. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great, great affection greeted him. And they would perform so many wonderful pastimes together. The dearest friend of Pundarik Vidyanidhi was Srila Swarup Damodara Goswami. They celebrated so many festivals. In fact, every morning Swarup Damodara Goswami, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, along with Lord Chaitanya and associates, would go for the darshan of Lord Jagannath. Then the month of Magh came, January, where it is the cold month. And during this day, from the sixth day of the month of Magh to the last day of the month of Magh, there is a festival called Odila Shasti, where they offer brand new garments to Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. And it's a wonderful festival. Lord Chaitanya and the devotees would go each day to see all these garments. There were numberless garments that were offered. Some were silk, and they were sewn with pearls and gold on them. There was beautiful, bright blue garments and yellow garments and orange garments and white garments and red garments. Whole festival, one after another, they were just offering garment after garment after garment to Lord Jagannath, and all the devotees were just in so much ecstatic love watching all these offerings being made to Jagannath. And it would go all night long. After seeing this, Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they left the Jagannath temple and they went to Gambira, Lord Chaitanya's residence. And then Lord Chaitanya bade farewell to all of them. All of the devotees went to their respective places to take rest. Swarup Damodar Goswami and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, they went to get some prasad. And while they were walking, Pundarik Vidyanidhi began to reveal a doubt in his mind to Swarup Damodar Goswami. He asked, why did they offer garments that still had starch in them to Jagannath without washing them? Do not the pujaris know that according to the Shastra, you cannot offer the deity any garments that have starch in it? Why are they doing this type of festival in this country? Swarup Damodar Goswami, upon hearing this, he said, what are you saying? He said, there is no fault with the festival of this country. He said, Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is above all these rules and regulations of your scriptures. He can do anything he wants. Pundarik Vidyanidhi replied, yes, that is true. Lord Jagannath can do whatever he wants, but that doesn't mean his servants can imitate him. That doesn't give them the right to do anything they want. They should follow the injunctions of the Shastras. According to the Shastras, if you even touch a cloth that has starch in it, you must immediately wash your hands. And they are placing this contaminated cloth on the body of Jagannath.
Hare Krishna.
Swarup Damodar Goswami said, I don't see anything wrong with this Odina Shashti festival. I think it is a very good festival. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, actually, Lord Jagannath can do anything he likes. And then they started to laugh and joke together about what all they were saying. And then they went back to Lord Chaitanya's place, and they both took rest. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was sleeping very nicely. But then he had the most extraordinary dream. A dream that no one in the history of creation has ever had. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Jagannath himself, appeared within the dream of Pundarik Vidyanidhi in the form of Lord Jagannath. And he was looking at Pundarik Vidyanidhi with eyes full of unbearable anger. Now we have all seen Lord Jagannath's eyes. He has very big, prominent lotus eyes. But on this day, those eyes were full of furious anger. And he was looking at Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was scared beyond comprehension. He was filled with fear. Then Jagannath, with his own hand, started to slap Pundarik Vidyanidhi in his face and on his mouth.
Then Balaramji came. And both Balaram and Jagannath Swami were again and again and again violently slapping the face of Pundarik Vijayanidhi again and again and again and again and again, slapping, and they had rings on their fingers. They were slapping him again and again in such anger. Pundarik Vijayanidhi fell at Lord Jagannath's feet and he prayed, "Krishna, save me! Krishna, save me! I'm sorry! What offense have I done that you are punishing me like this? What offense have I done? Please tell me!" Lord Jagannath, in great anger, he spoke, "Your offenses have no end. You do not understand the exalted position of me and my devotees. You have criticized my devotees in this holy place. Therefore, why do you stay in this holy place of Jagannath Puri? You should go home. By your offenses, you are losing your upper caste. You found fault with my festival. You worship me, then you criticize my devotees, my servants. You have found faults with the starched garments that were being offered with love and devotion to me by my devotees." Pundarik Vijayanidhi was terrified. He was laying at the feet of Jagannath, crying out, "Please forgive me, forgive me. I am an offender. I am a criminal. I have offended your devotees. Please, please forgive me. You are so merciful that you have punished me for my offense. And with the same mouth that I criticized your devotee, you have slapped with your lotus hand. This is certainly your mercy." Lord Jagannath replied, "Because you are my servant, I have punished you for your offense." Then the dream disappeared. And Pundarik Vijayanidhi, at the time of dawn, he woke up. And when he woke up, his mouth and both sides of his face were scarred with the bruises of Jagannath and Balaram's lotus hands. And he felt ecstatic. He was thinking, "This is so auspicious." He met with Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Swarup Damodar said, "Why are you like you are today? Please tell me." And then he saw Pundarik Vijayanidhi's face. He said, "What is that on your mouth and on your face? What happened to you?" Pundarik Vijayanidhi told him about the dream. That Jagannath and Balaram came and they personally beat me because I criticized their devotees. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "So fortunate are you. No one has ever had such a dream like this, where they are punished by the Lord." And Pundarik Vijayanidhi was expressing to Swarup Damodar Goswami, "How fortunate I am that the Lord personally punished me to teach me of my mistake." So from this story we can understand the intimate loving relationship between the Lord and his devotees. But we can also understand how, whoever you may be, how many years you have been in this movement, however many lifetimes you have been chanting Hare Krishna, you have no right to criticize a Vaishnava. And if you do, Krishna will punish you. And what is the greatest of all punishments? That he takes away our enthusiasm for devotional service. That he allows this fault-finding mentality to dwell within our minds. Ramchandrapuri was a very great exalted sannyasi, but because he offended Madhavendrapuri, from that moment on, all he could do is see faults with others. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the house of Srivas, one day he said, I will not give love of God to my mother Sachi Devi because she made an offense to Advaitacharya. Slight offense. And he would not give Krishna Prema to his mother until she took the dust of his feet on her head. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach this lesson very, very strongly. We should be very cautious in our dealings with devotees, because we do not know how dear they may be to Krishna. And we have come to Krishna consciousness for the purpose of making spiritual progress. Our spiritual progress is exclusively based on how we are pleasing Krishna. We will not make spiritual advancement simply by performing austerities. We will not become Krishna conscious simply by getting big, big, big results in whatever particular service we're performing. We will not become Krishna conscious even by chanting hundreds of millions of mantras. The purpose of all our austerities, the purpose of all of our service, the purpose of all of our chanting of mantras is to please Krishna. When Krishna is pleased by our sincere efforts of following the order of our spiritual masters, then he cleanses our hearts from within. Then he reveals Krishna prema and Krishna bhakti to us by his own sweet will. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, even when you're following the regulative principles and you're chanting the holy names of Krishna to water that seed of devotion within your heart, many weeds are also growing. And the greatest is that of Vaishnava Aparad. Whatever wonderful, wonderful garden of flowers that have sprouted due to your hearing and chanting, it will all be trampled upon by this elephant-like offense to Vaishnavas. To please Krishna is our purpose of life. And Krishna has explained what pleases him the most. To serve the devotees with humility. And what displeases him the most, to cause harm to the hearts of other Vaishnavas. This is the great lesson that Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in this wonderful purport. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishena amani namanadena kirtaniya sadhari. Once somebody asked Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur about Siddha Pranali Mantra, the mantra that can awaken your original spiritual swarup in the spiritual world. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, our Siddha Pranali mantra is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhari. If we live by this principle of this verse, Krishna will reveal everything. All the treasures of the spiritual world will be revealed from within our hearts. To be humble like the grass, tolerant like tree. Offer all respects to others and be very careful not to disrespect others. And to constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare.
Thank you very much. His Holiness Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Yes?
Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he is not affected whatever he does. మరేదో చేసే చాలా వర్ణమయా
Hare Krishna. Maharaj is bringing out a very analytical point that Parasaram is Bhagavan, an avatar, and he performed tapasya to counteract the reaction of what he had done. However, Ami Avilas Swami Maharaj, being a very pundit, great scholar of the scriptures, is quoting from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, I am never affected by anything I do. Yes? Hare Krishna. That means Parasaram was actually not affected. He wants to teach us how we should be. He wanted to teach us, if even he does tapasya, when he makes mistake of causing harm to others unnecessarily, even though he didn't even do anything wrong, but still he wanted to perform this tapasya just to show all of us how we must be very careful, and how if we make a mistake, we must atone for that mistake and beg forgiveness. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Why did the Lord have to come and calm Chandra? Parashuram was there all the time. He could have...
The question is, if Parasaram so effortlessly defeated Ravana, and since Parasaram is always here, somewhere on the earth, why did he come as Ram? He could have killed Ravana as Parasaram. That is the question. There are many ways to answer that question. According to time, place, and circumstance, we will answer it. That if Ram did not appear and perform his beautiful, wonderful pastimes to attract everyone's hearts, then here at Radharas Bihari Temple, we would not have the great fortune of worshipping Sita Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. So just so that you can fix your mind in the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Sitaram, Lakshman and Hanuman, worship him and always remember his mercy and his pastimes, he has appeared in this world to kill Ravana. Srila Prabhupada explained, the Lord does not have to come to kill demons. He's in the demons' hearts. As the Paramatma, he can just take his chakra and cut out their hearts. He can just send some natural disaster on their heads. He uses the demons as an excuse to come to perform his most wonderful, glorious pastimes to attract the hearts of all living entities back to his loving devotional service, to attract everyone to hear his glories and to chant his holy name.
If I'm not mistaken, Parashuram is a Shiva empowered Shakya Vesh incarnation, whereas Lord Ramachandra is the Leela Avatar, the Vishnu Satya incarnation. They're different people. So this question is.
They are different people, but the same power is in both of them. The same power of Lord Ram is in Parashuram.
But Lord Parashuram could not have become Lord Ramachandra, could not have
become Lord Ramachandra. Yes. Sridhar Maharaj is saying that Parasaram could not have become Lord Ramachandra. But he could have killed Kartavirya Arjuna. But even Ram, who is Bhagavan, who is higher even than Narayan in his opulences, even he performed tapasya after he killed Ravana, just to show by example. Parasaram may be a Shaktivesh avatar, but even Ramchandra himself, after the battle of Sri Lanka, he killed Ravana, he killed Kumbhakarna, he killed so many of the sons of Ravana, and they were all Brahmins, not very qualified Brahmins, but they were Brahmins. So Ramchandra was thinking, and also the sages were saying, you have to show the right example. Even though what you did was for the sake of everyone's benefit, still you killed a Brahmin. So you must perform some penance. So Ram was thinking that Ravana was a devotee of Shiva. And Shiva gave so many benedictions to Ravana. And I have killed Shiva's devotee. Therefore I must get forgiveness of Shiva by worshipping Shiva. Even though Shiva is the servant of the Lord, still the Lord wanted to set this example. This happened at Rameshwaram. It was said that you have to worship Shiva by a certain time. And there is a beautiful Shiva Lingam in Kailash. You should worship that. So the Lord sent Hanumanji to Kailash. And he went there and he actually saw two lingams. So he decided to take one for himself to worship too. So he brought both of them. But he was late. The Brahmins were saying, Ram, the auspicious time for this worship is just coming. So Sita, wanting to please her husband, she made a Shiva Lingam with her own hands out of sand. And Ram worshipped that one. And then Hanuman came, just at the end of the ceremony. And he felt so bad that he had not served his Lord properly. And Ram saw that he felt bad. So he said, I give this benediction. Anyone who comes to this holy place of Rameshwaram, before worshipping the deity that Sita Devi has made, everyone has to first worship Hanuman's deity of Shiva. So that is the custom even today. And you know the holy place Dev Prayag. Dev Prayag, if you go to that holy temple on the mountain, there are the footprints of Ram. That is where he performed austerities and penances to atone for the offenses he had made by killing so many people in Sri Lanka and by killing the devotee of Shiva. So even Ramchandra teaches by his example that we are always accountable. Of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond all these rules and regulations. But still, he acts in this way like a human being, just for our sake, to teach us. So we must be very, very careful. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a devotee should be very, very conscientious and attentive in everything he does and everything he says. We should not act whimsically, we should not speak whimsically, because we are liable. And if we always try to take a humble position and respect others, and expect no respect for ourselves, then we are safe. Then we are on the clear path back home, back to God. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thank you very much.